A couple of weeks ago, I received in the mail the newest edition of the Circuit Rider, which is a publication put out by the United Methodist Church speaking on maybe specific events or interests or topics that are going on within the world and how they are maybe answered by theologians, bishops, lay people that have an expertise or a study in that area. And so I was reading this latest edition, and as I was reading one of the articles, the author, Jessica Legrone, told of her very first mission trip that she ever went on. She went to Costa Rica, and she went with Habitat for Humanity there to build homes and to do things in a specific area. But she said that she ended up spending most of her time with the children there and spending time with them, letting them poke fun at her bad Spanish, not able to speak the language very well, but being able to spend time together, play together, be together. And so she was sharing about this experience, and they spent most of their time on the rocky hillside of the mountainous area there until one day when they led her away from their normal playing area and normal place of being, and they wanted to show her what they said was going to be the most beautiful place of the entire mountain. And so they took this long walk to this place that they wanted to show her, and they rounded the corner, and there it was. She said, a lawn. A simple, flat piece of green lawn. Something that she was ordinary to her, living in a suburban neighborhoods and area of the United States. And so she said she was all geared up for this extraordinary sight of the mountain she was going to see. And she found herself a little underwhelmed in the moment as she turned and saw the green lawn. For her, it was an ordinary sight. Then a little boy pulled out a ball, and they all began playing together, and this green lawn was now their field that they could play on. Unlike they were able to play in the rocky hillsides and the mountainous area where they had come from, it was just soccer field like none that they had played on before and was not their normal place of enjoyment. And as she watched them play with such glee, she experienced how this ordinary piece of lawn became for her this extraordinary sight, the most beautiful that she would indeed encounter on the mountain. What is ordinary has that possibility to become extraordinary, even the most beautiful. That's what we've been realizing and coming to understand these past few weeks with people. There are these ordinary people born into the world like you and I ordinarily who live extraordinary lives, lives that tell the story of God and how he's at work. The story of God and how he loves us extraordinarily and extravagantly. The story of God and how he has this ability to take the ordinary and to make it absolutely extraordinary. So today we have another person to look at as we look at the blind man. This man born in such a way. And then this man encounters Jesus. And you know what happens when you encounter Jesus. You're never the same again. This man woke up like any other day, living his ordinary. And then, Jesus had been in the temple. He'd caused some tension while in the temple. That happened every once in a while for Jesus as we look at the Gospels. To the point, though, where they were all leaning down, picking up stones, ready to stone him. And as they were picking up the stones, he hid and got his way out of that temple area. And it was at this moment in time that he came upon this man blind from birth. From teachings and understandings that the disciples had from their upbringing, it stirred within them a question. So they asked, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus took this opportunity to teach them something new, responding, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him." The ordinary, it was about to become extraordinary. After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This means sent. So the man went and washed, and he came home seeing. The man woke up that day as he did any other day, in the dark. That was his ordinary. But then the light of the world came into his life, Jesus. And he was doing something extraordinary in him, for the world to see the work of God. And the world took notice. The story continues, saying, his neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes opened?" they asked. He replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud, put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash, and I went and washed, and then I could see." What had become ordinary, you see, for the neighbors was to see this man begging. He was born blind, unable to work, to take part in the life of the community. So he was forced to sit begging every day, hoping that someone would have heart enough to throw him some coins that he could make it by that day. Today, though, was different for the neighbors. He was not in his usual place, but instead he was up, walking around, seeing even. This was not making any sense to them. And their questioning him was not giving them the answers that they wanted or answers that made sense to them. So they took him to the Pharisees. The Pharisees also questioned him, asking the same questions once again, him giving the story of what happened to him. The Pharisees weren't accepting this any better than the neighbors, so the Pharisees then sent for his parents. Then they began questioning his parents. And his parents said, "We know he is our son. And we know he was born blind. But how he can see now or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He's of age. He will speak for himself." And so that's exactly what the Pharisees did. A second time, they summoned the man who had been born blind. "Give glory to God by telling the truth," they said. "We know this man is a sinner," he replied. "Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I know, I was blind, but now I see." "One thing I know, I was blind, but now I see." Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. I was blind, but now by the grace of God, I can see. By the grace of God, God has done this extraordinary thing through him so that the works of God might be displayed through him. When Jesus arrives on the scene, anything is possible, and everything has the ability to change and to transform. The ordinary becomes extraordinary. For the blind man, his limitations were overcome. Isolated, no longer, stigma gone, all because Jesus arrived on the scene. "Whether a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, I was blind, but now I see." Like the blind man, we don't have to have it all figured out. We don't have to know all the answers. We don't have to know how to answer the questions. But instead, can we say like him, I don't know, but he took this life of mine and he did something. He forgave me of my sins. He healed my broken heart. He gave me direction and purpose. He took my worry and gave me peace, a peace that surpasses all understanding. He transformed my judgment of others into welcome and an open heart. He delivered me from addiction. He brought back my child that had strayed. Whatever it was or is, he has the power to make this ordinary life extraordinary so that the works of God might be displayed. That is who God is. God sees us right where we are, in what we might call or has become our ordinary, and he arrives on the scene to make it extraordinary. We don't have to do anything or earn it or just try one more time. We just have to let God come in, the light of the world, and do what only God can do. It's called grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. John Newton, the writer of this hymn, has quite a story. And in his ordinary, you might call him rebellious. As a young child, he became rebellious. He lost his first job because of what they called unsettled behavior and impatience of restraint. While in the Royal Navy, he rebelled against their discipline, ended up in irons and flogged, which then led him to a new job on a slave ship taking part in slave trading. He described himself saying, I sinned a high hand and I made it my study to tempt and seduce other. But grace, God's grace, amazing grace. On one of those trips across the sea, a storm came and it was taking over that ship he was on. And in that moment, he gave his life to God. He made it back to land safely through the storm and began to study the Word of God, the Bible. He gave up slave trading, became ordained, and eventually became so convicted about his practice and his previous engagement with slavery that he spoke out and he wrote out against slavery and the horrific treatment. He became an abolitionist. Amazing grace. The power of God to turn the ordinary into extraordinary. That's the power he had in the life of the people that we've been studying, and Joseph, and in Mary of Bethany, and Ruth, and Daniel, Stephen, Nicodemus, Esther, and now this man born blind. That same power that he can have in our lives, his grace, transforming our ordinary into extraordinary. This hymn, Amazing Grace. It's been a part of my life since before I can even remember. I think I memorized the words before I knew that I knew the hymn. And in reality, it's become kind of an ordinary part of my life. It's an ordinary part of our life as Christians and as United Methodists. It's in our hymnal, and it has been. It's one of those that you probably know the number of the hymn, some of you. And it's in these ordinary words that John Newton put together that something extraordinary can happen in our lives as the power of that grace is unleashed in our hearts. So let us sing it. Let us sing this first verse together, allowing God's grace to come into our hearts in a new and a fresh way, the ordinary becoming extraordinary. Lord, when our ordinary was lost, you came on scene and we were found. When our ordinary was blind, you came into our lives and now we see. Grace, amazing grace. Your grace, God, has the power to make ordinary people have the ability to live extraordinary lives. For today, you have opened our eyes so that we might know you more, and in knowing you more, that we might know ourselves more, extraordinarily made for you, made so that your good work could be done in our lives. So do it, Lord, here and now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God's grace has been given. I heard the words in the communion ritual, his spirit poured down upon us. I think we have everything we need. Everything we need for these lives to be extraordinarily lived. Lived in such a way that God's love is known to the entire world. So go and live the life that God has given to you. The life that God has for the world. Go in his grace and in his peace. Amen.